For the rest of us, if you want to turn with me to the Gospel of John chapter 16, we're going to read through verses 25 through 33. John 16, 25 through 33. Beginning to read in verse 25. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "You believe at last," Jesus answered. "But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray this morning, Lord, that you just descend on us and open us up to revelation today, Lord God. I pray that you would put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning. All of it, Lord, that you be glorified, that your name be lifted up, and that your truth would go forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, this is a very, very good weekend for you all to be here. For about 13 years in a row, God has always given me a word for the year. For the last 13 years, that began in 2010. I looked back to make sure I knew what I was talking about. God's been stirring something in my heart. I didn't know how to discern it. It was very confusing to me at times. It's been a process that's been happening for a while. No one knows what I'm about to share with you today. Not even my wife. I have not uttered a word to anyone. Because there was this long process of stirring going on inside of me. And along with it, there was some confusion. So beginning in the end of November, roughly, I started having the word trip pop up periodically. Trip, of all things. Now, I didn't think a lot about it at first, but then it became more and more frequent. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and immediately the word trip would be in my mind. And I'm like, what? What are you telling me, Lord? Am I going to be taking a trip? Okay, give me a clue where I'm going to be going. Or, are you telling me I'm going to trip and fall and get injured? Or are you giving me a warning? I mean, guys, think about it. And it's just increasingly more frequent. Trip. Trip. I look here. I look there. I see the word trip. Well, I started tripping. I'm tripping, man. I'm trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. In my mind, in my heart, things I'm looking at, things I'm reading, videos, the word trip. I was like, my gosh, Lord, what is going on? So as time has gone by, I've been praying and asking the Lord if he was going to give me a word for this year. How many of you were kind of wondering if that was going to happen? Me too. Me too, because you know me, if you've been around here for a while, I wasn't going to manufacture something to make you guys happy. If God didn't give it to me, it wasn't going to happen this year. All right? So, as time has gone by, I'm praying and asking the Lord if he's going to give me a word for this year. And I've been wondering about this word, trip. I've been confused about it enough that I started thinking maybe it was just me. I even thought, well, the devil must be messing with me because, you know, we have these pat answers for everything. Oh, let's see now, let me think. I know that confusion comes from the devil. God is not an author of confusion. You know, I'm starting to quote the word to myself and try to reason this thing out. And, you know, in some cases, try to explain it away because I was like, man, I don't know. Why does this keep happening? But it kept on happening. So I began to pray specifically, asking for insight into this word. The Lord impressed on me to look deeper and discern this word. I'm like, okay, how deep can I dig into the word trip? You know, I've already covered, am I going to trip and fall? Or am I going to be getting on a plane? Am I going to be getting on a train? Am I going to be jumping in the car? Am I going to be taking a trip? And if I am, where am I going? Who's going with me? Is my wife going with me? My family? What's... I'm trying to figure it out. Well, recently, it finally hit me out of nowhere that it might be an acronym for something. So I started praying along those lines. I began to pray and ask the Lord for insight along those lines. It has been a process that I believe what I have for you today is the word for this year and beyond. Through much prayer and one piece at a time, I've got an acronym that I believe is from God, what he was wanting to lead me into through the word trip. The first word in that acronym, T, turmoil. The second word, repentance, R. The third word, I, infilling. And the fourth one, P, power. I want to address these one word at a time. So let's start by looking at the word turmoil. Turmoil is a state of great disturbance, confusion, or uncertainty, according to a book from Oxford Languages. It also says upheaval and mayhem. And then the next thing it said was, in parentheses, the country was in great turmoil. What have I been warning you guys about for months? To prepare you, not to freak you out, but I've been telling you, hard times are coming in this nation. And I've made it abundantly clear when every time I've told you that, I'm not telling you this to scare you, I'm telling you this to prepare you. It's why God gives it to us, it's why he gives us warning. So, I believe this first word in this acronym that I totally believe God has given me is a warning that this year will be a time of increased turmoil, and not only this year. You understand, when I get a word for the year, it's not 365 and a quarter days, and then we have the next word. There's carryover. So I'm saying this year and beyond. It's not like, okay, it's December 31st, so that word's irrelevant now. There's always carryover. All right? Remember last year was the word boomerang. You know, we're seeing a big surge of the word boomerang again. How many of you have been paying attention? There's a lot, a couple. I got two. Oh, there's a few more over here. So boomerang has been clearly the word for 2023 and beyond, because we're still seeing it. There's been a surge. I've been seeing the word boomerang all over, and not just the word boomerang, but things boomerang. Can you say the name Fannie Willis? Boomerang! Back to my message. So, in our text in verse 33, we see the word trouble. The Lord led me to this verse because of that word. I'll read it again. These are Jesus' words. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. See, Jesus gave his disciples this warning and us this warning because no matter what happens in this world, if we are in Christ, we can maintain our peace. Because Jesus is peace. Because he goes way beyond anything that can come against us. He has already won. When he died and resurrected again, and here we are in the Lenten season. Boy, it's amazing how fast a year goes by. Celebrating his resurrection. Celebrating the fact that he paid the price, he rose again, like he said he would. He said, I told you these things so that in me you will have peace. And then he goes on to say, in this world, you will have trouble. But I love it when those three letters follow something that's done. Take heart. Take heart. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Take heart. Why? Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Amen. Now I dug into this a little bit. The word trouble. And I found in this passage that the word that is translated trouble in our language, the Greek word that was translated was tereso. Tereso. Which means, check this out, subverting the souls of believers by evil doctrine. Are we living that today? This just made me, I was sitting in front of my computer working on this, and when I found this, it made me just sit right straight up in my computer chair. I mean, it just, wow. I had never dug into this before and went back to the Greek for that word and that in this passage. Subverting the souls of believers by evil doctrine. All that is wrong is being made to look right. Even in the churches predominantly. And all that is right is being made to look wrong. Today, if you stand for and preach and teach the Word of God for what it says, the woke churches and the people in them will tell you you're a legalist. They'll make fun of you. They'll tell people, stay away from that church because they're legalistic. Well, if standing for the pages in this book makes me a legalist, then bring it on.
Amen.
Because if we are not going to stand for the Word of God in solid doctrine, we might as well all go home. There's more. There's a comma. It means also stirring up a crowd. Tereso, the Greek word, translated trouble in this passage. It's used right here in this passage when Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. You will have tereso. You will have stirring up of a crowd. My goodness, we have been seeing that in increasing measure in the last decade, haven't we? Cities burning, cars burning, burning police departments, burning churches, burning. And it's all because crowds were stirred up. We had streets that were in blocks that were closed down and burnt in our big cities. 5 years ago. 6 years ago. 7 years ago. In that time frame. It was all happening. And it was because crowds were stirred up. In this world, you will have tereso. Semicolon. We're still going to get more out of this. Troubling the multitudes. Troubling the multitudes. And last, agitation. Man. Can we get it any more clear than this? We see all of this happening. It was prophesied that we would have these kinds of things happen. When Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, without digging back to the original Greek word, we miss a lot of what it really meant, didn't we? And I didn't know this until I was working on this message. I did not know this, but I'll tell you what, it made me sit up straight in my chair. Do I have your attention? So, Jesus said, in this world you will have tereso. Take heart. When people trash you on the internet, drag your name through the mud, when you're lied about, take heart. Because Jesus has overcome all of this. Because He is our vindicator. Because He has the final word. Not the agitators. Not those that are stirring up trouble. Not those that are stirring up a crowd, and not those that are subverting souls of believers by evil doctrine. They don't have the final say. Our Lord and Savior has the final say. He's the one that's coming back for His bride. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. So there is the first word, turmoil, in this acronym, TRIP. Second word, let's look at the word repentance, which in layman's terms means to turn from sin and turn to God.
Amen.
That's what repentance means. Very simple definition. Turn from sin and turn to God. Turn toward God.
Amen.
Change of direction. A change of mind. Okay? So the Greek word for repentance is metanoia. Metanoia. Which means exactly what I just told you. The best scripture that I can find in all of the Word of God that displays repentance is in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Beginning to read in verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So we see from this passage, all of us, when we've come to repentance, I would say, has somehow come to a low point in our lives and realized we don't have all the answers, nor can we be everything that we would like to be without God. We can't save ourselves. So it comes, we need to come to a place in repentance where we realize that we've come to the end of ourselves. That we realize that we've sinned. And the fact that we've sinned means we need a Savior, because sin leads to death. Sin, death. Every one of us, every single one of us here today, myself included, deserves death because we sin. But Jesus Christ, Jesus came to redeem lost humanity, to provide a way when there was no way. He gave of his own life. So this tells me that God, this year, in a bigger way, is going to move in people's hearts and move them to revelation that they are truly sinners. And that means they need a Savior. So I believe that that first word, turmoil, it's going to make people very uncomfortable. Listen, when we can't pay our bills, or we don't have enough food, or we don't have enough for clothing on our back, or we're on the verge of losing our house, or maybe have lost our house, or whatever the situation. Maybe just what we said when I looked up the whole thing about turmoil, and we're just being agitated constantly by the evil around us. The false doctrine. Has this been driving anybody else crazy? I'm so sick of the false doctrine. All the deception and all of the lies. I get up every day, to be honest with you, lately, and just wonder, what am I going to find out today? You know? It's a challenge to throw the shoulders back when we get out of bed in the morning anymore and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a challenge, isn't it? But that must be our confession. My flesh is squirming. My mind's going crazy. But my spirit is still intact. So I believe what God was showing me in this acronym also is that he is going to move people to repentance. And that excites me because that means revival. Yes. That's exciting, my friends. Third word. I. Infilling. Let's look at the word infilling. Simply put, the definition is to fill a void with something. That's what infilling means. To fill a void with something. In this case, it's to fill a void in us. And that void is the lack of the presence of God manifest through His Holy Spirit. Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. While you're turning there, guys, repentance is so very, very, very important. Without repentance, it's futile to go to church. Going to church has never saved anyone. In and of itself. And I'm not putting down going to church. We need to go to church. We get built up. We get instructed. We get trained. We're part of the body of Christ then. We get assimilated into the body of Christ. There's so much that happens that is very good. It's why Paul said, don't forsake the gathering together. We need each other. We're stronger together. But church attendance alone doesn't save anyone. We all have to come to the place of repentance. Every one of us. Joel 2, 28 through 32 says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know, this really gives me, if I might indulge you for about 2 minutes here. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see vision. I got hope because, see, every once in a while, I do have prophetic dreams once in a while. You know that's true. Over the years, I've shared them with you when I get them. But I also have visions yet once in a while, so I must not be that old yet. Because it says the young men get visions. That's a praise God. I can agree with that. Hallelujah, Lord. I'm with you on this. Joel says, I will pour out my spirit. Joel, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Sons and daughters, old men, young men, even on servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And filling. And filling. Starts with repentance. And we're born again when we receive Christ to give Him rightful place in our lives as Lord and Savior. And then we are, the next step is in filling. In filling with His Spirit. See, this has given me a lot of hope. I want to see more people on fire for God. Full of the Holy Spirit of the living God, operating. I want to see the people in this church operating in the gifts, that this would be an Acts church. Because time is running out and God is preparing for Christ's return. I believe we are on the cusp of the last great outpouring of God's Spirit before Christ returns. I believe that with all my heart. We're on the cusp of it. I believe that's what He's showing me the beginning of when He gave me this acronym. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Still looking at infilling. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Sounds like they were having church. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In filling with the Spirit. P is the last word in the acronym TRIP. So let's look at the word power. Acts 1, verses 3 through 9. Acts 1, verses 3 through 9. Whoops. Beginning to read in verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the dates or times the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So along with the infilling then comes power. Did you see it? Okay, and the Greek word that is translated power in this instance is dunamis. I've talked about this word before when I've been teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit at different times. But it's an inerrant force. It's an explosive power. It's what dunamis is. It's the root word that we get the word dynamite from in our language. Alright? So it's the kind of power that equips believers to do miraculous things. It's that kind of power. It's the kind of power to take out devils. It's the kind of empowerment that we will speak the truth, that we will prophesy, and it'll take down demons. It'll take down and rend false words powerless. Deception powerless. Do you expect to receive power from God? See, we need to rise every morning, or if you're on other shift, every night. Whichever it is, when we arise from sleep, we need to profess to ourselves, "I am powerful in Christ. I will not be pitiful." You are powerful in Christ. Outside of Christ, we are pitiful. We are to be pitied more than anyone. Because without Christ, we are dead. Without Christ, we are powerless. So, to sum it up, what I believe God is showing us through this message is that He is allowing turmoil in the world to drive people to repentance. Then He is going to fill them with His Holy Spirit to overflowing. and empower them to be able to live the life he has called them to in these last days that we are walking in. You get it?
Yes.
Is that wild or what? I'm still reeling from this, because all this time I was dealing, what is with this word trip? What is it? I mean, I'm serious. Hun, I never said a word to you about this, did I? And she's my go-to, man. She's my helpmate. She's my wife. But I didn't utter this to anybody. This has been going on in me throughout this time. This just going on, me communing with my God and trying to get what he was showing me. I really had to dig deep. I had to dig deep. I wasn't getting it. God did not make this easy. It's impacted my prayer life. I guarantee you. Let me explain. Next year, when we start getting to the end of this year, and I'm praying whether the Lord's going to give me a word for next year, I'm going to ask him to give me a vision or a dream or something. It's easier that way, guys. So it has changed my prayer life. Are you excited, though?
Yeah.
I know it's hard to be excited about the turmoil. But when we dug into that root word, the Greek word, then it kind of came a little clearer, didn't it? Probably meaning a little, for the most part, a little different turmoil than we thought. False teaching will increase. So, trip is the word for this year and beyond. Are you ready? Now I want you to understand something. This made me think about the fact that the church exists to train up disciples. That's what we exist for, guys. Jesus never said, build bigger and bigger churches. Although there's nothing wrong with a big church, necessarily. But that should not be the focus. The focus should be training disciples. Raising up disciples of Christ. That should be the focus of every church. Years ago, those of you who are new in this body of believers, a few years ago, it's been quite a few years already now, I spent 6 years, a 6-year course on discipleship. We spent every summer for 6 years. If I remember right, it was 12 or 13 lessons each summer. And it took 6 years to get through all that discipleship training. My heart is for discipleship. It has been for a long time. We should be focused on learning. Guys, we have Bible study on Wednesday nights. And I'm not trying to put no heavy on anybody. But part of being trained to be a disciple is being plugged into all the teaching you can get in the Word of God. That's part of it. We need train in the Word. And we also need to read and study it ourselves in our own lives. Okay? If all you are getting is what you're getting from me on Sunday, you're anemic.
Right.
You're spiritually anemic. If that's all that you're getting, you're not getting enough. If I were the best orator in the world, I could not give you enough if that's all you're getting. Got to be hungry for the Word of God and getting in the Word of God, getting the Word of God every opportunity there is, so that we are becoming disciples of Christ. And along with that, then, is we are walking in the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See, when we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, then we are given the gifts, the power gifts that equip us to go forth in the power of God's might to be the disciples He's called us to be. The gifts are for empowerment. The power gifts. And then we have all kinds of denominations that for years, all kinds of churches that for years have ignored the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's sad, guys.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
True. People ask you, did your pastor get a word? Yeah, he's tripping. Let's all stand together. Did you get it, guys? Are you excited? I'm excited. I'm thankful to God. And you know what? Honestly, I was kidding with you about changing my prayer life and all that. But seriously, I learned a lot through having to really gut this out and dig this out to get this word for this year. So, before you, seriously now, I thank God that He took me through that process. And I just pray that I have done an effective job of bringing what He has shown me to you. Father, I just pray Your blessing over Your people. I pray for health, Lord God. I pray that we would walk in divine health as we are Yours and You're our great physician, Lord God. I just pray in Jesus' name that as we leave this place, we have been challenged, we have been encouraged, and that we are forever changed because we have heard from the truth of Your word, Lord God. Lord, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.